Hey, good morning, everybody. It's Wednesday, the 22nd of April, the 28th day of the month of Nisan, and we are up to Tehillim Mizmor Chaf Aleph, the 21st Psalm. So, of course, we all refer to him as David HaMelech, even though he didn't start that way. He was just the afterthought in his father's home, not even considered by his father as a candidate for the monarchy. When Shmuel Hanavi first showed up at the family home and said that I'm here to anoint the next king, Yishai, David's father, didn't even think of him. But we always think of David as the Melech, and that's the way that history works. And David really was the paradigmatic Melech, because the kind of internal contradiction when it comes to Judaism's take on what a king should be is the king is really the one who realizes that he's not the king with the capital K, or the Melech with the uppercase Mem. The king is truly the one who's able to recognize that there's only one actual Melech, and that, of course, is the Melech Malchei Hamlachim, and that his job as the human king is really to direct the Jewish people towards the service of the actual Melech. That's part of the reason that Shmuel was so skeptical initially of the very institution of monarchy, because he felt that it was inevitable that power would corrupt, as it so often does, and he was hardly wrong in the case of Shaul. But David was a different story, and David had this absolutely surpassing quality, his ability to always keep things in perspective. We know, for example, that the mitzvah that the Torah assigns the king, he has a variety of mitzvahs. He can't have too much money, too many horses, he can't have too many wives. Again, according to Torah law, one can theoretically have more than one wife. It's not really a great idea, as we learn from Sefer Bereishis and all of the different rivalries that occur. But technically speaking, it could be allowed, but the king is the only halachic figure who's restricted in that regard. And he has a separate mitzvah of writing a second Sefer Torah, and the Torah tells us the reason. He's always supposed to carry that Torah around so that his heart doesn't grow haughty. And that was, you know, David's greatest strength. So in this Mizmor, we have David reflecting on how God had taken care of him as the king. And God had bestowed upon him great honor and glory and prestige. So the Mizmor begins, L'natzeach Mizmor David Adonai be'ozcha yismach melech uvishuascha ma'yagel ma'od. God has, in his strength, gladdened the king, and in his salvation has brought him great joy. Tavas libo nasatalo, you've given me anything that my heart desires. V'areshes sifasav balmanata sela, you have not withheld anything that I asked for. Kisek admenu birchos tov, you've given me all the good blessings of the world. Tashish l'rosho ateres paz, you've put on my head a crown of gold. Skipping over just one pasuk, it'll obviously be the critical pasuk. But pasuk vav goes on, gadol kivodo bishuasecha, you've exalted my greatness. Hod v'hadar tishavelav, you encloaked me in an aura of glory and beauty, etc., etc. But right there, smack in the middle, pasuk hey, the one that we skipped over, David is all the way back down to earth. Chaim sha'al mimcha nasatalo. All I asked from you, really, even though you were adorning me in all of this splendor, was life itself. That's all I ever really wanted. And you answered God, orech yamim olam va'ed. And you answered me with a long life. The Gemara in Sukkah is astonished by this, that all David could think of was to ask for life itself. But the Gemara in Masechta Sukkah explains that this is actually a reference, an allegorical reference to Mashiach ben David. And God said to him, "Shalmi meni v'esna goyim nachlasecha, ask me anything and I'll provide you whatever it is, you know, that you want, whatever it is that your heart desires." And Mashiach ben David at that point had just seen the demise of this very important figure in Jewish eschatology called Mashiach ben Yosef. There are apparently two messiahs. Messiah, the son of Joseph, will precede Messiah, the son of David. Rav Kook famously thought that Mashiach ben Yosef was Theodor Herzl, a story for perhaps a different time. But be that as it may, when Mashiach ben Yosef died, Mashiach ben David saw this. Instead of asking for power and dominion, he He simply said, God, would you give me life itself? And God said, you remind me of your forefather, David. That's all he ever wanted anyway. Chaim sha'al mimcha nasatalo. That David was very simple in his approach. He just asked for life itself. This is so reminiscent for me of perhaps the defining moment of David's malchus. We know that David yearned and was not able to build the Beis HaMikdash. And when he was marching the Aron back to Yerushalayim, he was dancing with the common folk, and his wife Michal, the daughter of Shaul, who was the daughter of a very pretentious and officious man, and she herself was very pretentious and officious, was like mortified. How could the king be dancing with the commoners, you know, on this day? And she basically laid into him and savaged him with this comment, Ma nichbad hayom melech Yisrael. How glorified is this day, O King of Israel, asher nigla hayom lenei amos avatav, who inappropriately reveals himself, exposes himself in dancing with the common folk, kigalos niglos achad harekim, as if there was something crass or untoward about it. And David's response is even more scathing. Vayomer David al Michal, he says, Lifnei Hashem, in front of God's presence, Asher bachar bi me'avich u'mikol beiso, God who chose me instead of your father and everybody in his household, etc., etc., to take care of the Jewish people. Unekalosi od mizos va'isi shafal be'enai. I'm not a haughty person. I'm a modest person. And those common folk, those plain women that you alluded to, that it's such a disgrace that I should be dancing, you know, with the Aron as we were bringing the Aron to Yerushalayim, that it was such a shame, a stain on the monarchy, that I should dance with those people. It's an honor for me to dance in front of God in celebration of the Torah. And one day, the future building of the Beis HaMikdash, I'm honored to be in their presence. So this was David being able to see himself not as the Melech with a capital Mem, but as, when it came to dancing in front of Hashem, no different than anyone else. And this is the same David who we have in our Mizmor today, simply asking for life itself and nothing more. Chaim shal mimcha nasatalo. And this speaks to us, of course, so deeply and so resonantly in our current moment. There's so many things that we might have wanted 2 or 3 months ago, we might naturally have yearned for, and nothing but nothing teaches one to simply cherish and to prize life itself. Shechiyanu v'kiyimanu v'igiyanu. Our ancestors recited the bracha. They knew what it meant, that life itself was to be cherished and to be celebrated. And everything else, you know, is gravy. We all heard our older relatives tell us, growing up, if you have your health, you have everything. And that indeed is absolutely what this mizmor ultimately is about. Chaim shal mimcha nasatalo, that all of the glory and the trappings and the extravagance of the melech, David was able to uniquely keep his eye on the prize, to understand the most important gift was life itself, and everything else could be worked out. Everything else was going to be of secondary importance. He understood his place. Hayisi shafal be'enai, he told Michal. I never got carried away with this position. And in that way, ironically, David was the paradigmatic melech. He always understood his place vis-a-vis the melech malchei amlachim. The only thing he truly asked from he who was able to bestow it was life itself. And of course, God responded, Orech Yamim, Olam Va'ed, by extending David's monarchy for all eternity. Wishing everybody a wonderful day.